Every seller has a story. I'm Georgia Mampanis, and welcome to our newest episode of the eBay Seller Spotlight Podcast, where each month we spotlight a seller with a story to share with us. Our guest this week has a name which, you know, may be familiar to some of you. You can catch him along with his wife on the hit show Storage Wars. Welcome, Rene Nezhoda.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
What do you sell on eBay? What are some specific things you focus on?
On eBay, we pretty much sell everything. Like I said, I mean, I hate saying this. It's weird, and I don't know where the time goes, but I think I've been on eBay like at least 25 years, probably longer. During that lifespan, I've literally sold everything from earth testing equipment at $500 a tube to medical stuff to obviously a lot of toys, comic books, coins, porcelain. You know, we bought the SS United States storage unit, which was a historical ship item. We sold the Kobe Bryant units, which made newspaper articles all over the world. The Lamar Odom, Farrah Fawcett. Almost anything that you can imagine, I've probably sold on eBay of some sort, except for real estate. I've sold cars through eBay. When I was really poor, eBay gave me the greatest blessing. I just had a brand new born daughter. And do you want to hear a crazy story?
Congrats, yes. I love crazy stories.
Okay, so here's a crazy eBay story. We just had a daughter. Me and my wife were a new couple. I'm working really hard, struggling, got all the pressure of fatherhood. And I go to this auction and they put up a Gran Torino Fastback. And it only goes for $100. Nobody wanted it right before the movie came out. And it was on stands and stuff. It looked really good. So I'm buying it. I'm doing a little bit of research. And I'm like, okay, the car at the time is probably worth like $1,500. So I put it on eBay and we need the money. So like that thing goes on auction like the same day, right? So I put it on eBay with $1 starting bid and $1,500 buy it now. And you know, you do all the thing, all the pictures, the VIN numbers and everything. I put up the VIN number and on that model, if it has a Q, it's one of the very first ones, like the first 200, it had a different type of engine. I put it on eBay and I literally get like 100 messages. Somebody does the dollar bid and then I get 100 messages. I see it was a buy it now, just go ahead, close it. I'll send you $2,000. And then all these people send me messages. And that's why the eBay community is so great. Hey, you're going to get messages. This car is worth a lot more than you think. We ended up selling it for $12,000.
Wow.
It was crazy.
And how long? What was the time frame?
Whatever the eBay auction was, like 7 days or so.
Wow. Look at that.
Yeah.
Crazy profit.
We just let it run because at this point, like you knew we had something that we didn't understand because like every 5 minutes an email would come in. Then people explained it, just saying that this is a very rare version with a special engine modification and it's super thought after. I almost sold it for $1,500 by now.
Wow. When did you start selling?
I think like eBay started in 95 sometimes. So we probably were right in 95 at the latest, very early 96. I was getting into the whole internet e-commerce business through a casino chip business I had, and I was selling literally through news groups. There were no other options. And then, like I said earlier, all of a sudden eBay popped up, and it was really intriguing, and it was this marketplace that nobody understood, but it kept on sending you checks. I remember going to the mailbox way before PayPal and all that stuff and just picking up packs of stacks, and my bank guy was just looked at me. Just like, what are you doing?
I've heard all about this time, yep.
eBay. What is eBay? It's like this marketplace. What do you mean it's a marketplace?
What were you doing before then?
I had a casino chip collecting business. I also had a publishing business. I used to be really big in the computer industry. We used to publish these monthly computer magazines where companies would buy advertising. But it was like an executive type of job. And I really didn't like it because I really wasn't having fun. I mean, I was like 19 years old. I was making a lot of money. But every day, the 30-day pressure, and same thing over and over and over and over. And I've done it probably from 15 to 19. And it was very successful. We almost sold it to a major company, but then we decided not to, which was a mistake. But then at 19, I just said, like, okay, well, I'm 19 now. I got my own house. Will this make me happy? And I was like, you know what? I hate every first because it starts over. Just like in the beginning, I got into it because of the passion for computers and technology. But then it didn't become about that passion anymore. I felt like office space cubicle. And on the side, I was selling casino chips. And then when eBay came along, eBay actually changed my life. You know, I've never really thought about this now that we talk about it. But I used to obviously go to the swap meet and hunt on the swap meet. And we were hunting for casino chips. And that's what I started selling on eBay and Beanie Babies and Pest before. I was growing with eBay as a human being, actually, because eBay said, hey, we're going to put this category up of vintage pots and pans or whatever. And vintage class. I'm like, okay, well, they got a category now. And this guy's asking $1 for the class. I throw it on eBay, sold it for $17. I like that. let's see if I can find 50 glasses next week, you know? And then it just kept on expanding. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, this treasure hunting is really, really fun. I'm like constantly in the hunt. So then I was like, okay, well, I can go to my office and sit in a cubicle and deal with employees that are upset and advertisers that are upset and sponsors that are upset and write stories. Or I can go to swap meets, yard sale, thrift stores, and hunting and having fun and be excited. Because there's no feeling in the world like scoring. So that's the route I went. And at 19, I decided, I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to be a full-time reseller. And I've never looked back.
Amazing. How do you gain your knowledge in reselling and secondhand sales?
It's just experience, really just going through it. I think the biggest mistake is newer and younger sellers, and maybe even the younger generation. When we were up and coming, we just took chances. Like, I remember when I was cash poor at one time, I didn't have an iPhone that I could just look everything up and check the eBay price, right? So it's whatever database you have. If I go to a huge estate sale, stuff wouldn't sell as fast. But let's say they had a collection of straight razor blades and they have 500 of them. They want $20 a piece, but the guy said I can have them $10 a piece each. Well, that's not a decision I can make or can just look up because I have no experience, right? So I hop in my car, drive back home, get on the old PC, get on eBay, look up straight razor blades and just try to see like an average price if there's even any listings at that time, right? And then I'm like, okay, well, nothing ever seems to sell for under $13, $14, $15. And some goes high. So now I go back, okay, negotiate the deal, buy it. And now I do 500 listings. So that's one example to do it that way. And now I do 500 listings. I'm like, oh, okay, it seems like the ones from England average $30, $40. The ones from France are super rare. And you just kind of gain knowledge with experience in life. One time I broke up with this girl, okay?
Sounds like a really sad story. It's starting off very sad so far.
It's actually pretty pathetic, but you learn some good stuff. So I was with this girl for 3 years. And my mentality was whenever I was sad or depressed about anything, I just go into work mode. And like a year before, I bought this big bag of toys. It was plastic toys, and it's made by a company called Prittens, which is an English toy company that are known for toy soldiers. But they also had a plastic line called Swoop It, and most of the Swoop It stuff is not that collectible. I mean, it's collectible, but not high price. And at the time, it was a little bit higher, but I bought this huge bag for $10 on the swap meet just because it was there, and it was vintage toys, and it was the Knight series, and you can actually exchange like 5-6 different parts of those Knight series. And I was depressed and I'm like, you know what? I know nothing about this. And I'm like, I'm just going to work with a stupid bag of toys. And I'm just going to list everyone $9.99 starting, but let it go. And it kept me busy for 2 days. And I was just my mind off. And I was literally playing with toys, all trying to make them look good. You know, red belts with a red hat and, you know, make sure they have all the weapons. I put that thing on eBay. And at the time, I think in a week, I made like $4,000 that bag. Wow. I bought for $10. I would like to say on the nights at that time, I considered myself a Britain Swoop It expert. And then, you know, the community, like, especially back then when you could do less research, the eBay community has always been really awesome. So as you do stuff, there will always will be people, number one, they just try to buy it from you cheaper. Then there were the people that will educate you and ask questions because they already have killer collections and then let you know. But like, hey, just so you know, your Shield Warriors are super rare. Just, you know, you kind of gain that education with experience. And the point I was trying to make back in the day, we would just buy stuff and take chances.
That's awesome. So I have to remind myself, anytime I go through a breakup, that's what I'm going to do, work mode and start listing stuff, and I can make $4,000. That's awesome.
You probably can track my relationship status is based on eBay average listings.
I love that. That's great. Okay, so how did you end up on Storage Wars?
Well, they came with us with season one, and like Dan Dotson was like, yeah, we're going to do a show about storage buying. In the meanwhile, I processed from picking to buying storage units, and now we're buying large collections. But they came to us and said, like, hey, we're going to do the show about buying storages. And then we talked to production, and we just opened up a retail store. So we had a 7,000 square feet store. We're increasing eBay employees, so we had both wheels turning always at the same time. So we were buying storage units. It basically was going straight onto eBay or straight to the store, depending on the merchandise. And it was super busy. I was like working like probably 23 and a half hours a day. Very scary time for us. A lot of investments and just changing, you know, going to the next step and making sure we don't want to fail. And they came to us and said, okay, we're going to film you unboxing storage units. And then they offered us very little money for the first season. And I'm like, that is stupid. Nobody's ever going to watch that. It's like, you're going to film me go through boxes? And yeah, it's like, well, you probably going to have some drama with other bidders. And we're going to make it competitive. I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. I just opened up the store. I invested a lot of money. That's the route I want to go.
And did the show people meet you at the storage auction?
Yeah, they came out to the storage auction. They saw us, and they were asked Dan and Laura Dotson, who are the biggest players in Southern California? And at the time, I hate saying that because other people always give me a hard time. I was definitely top three. And then I don't know if there was a difference in the top three. And I still am if I go, like, people are never happy when I come to the auctions. Our business model just changed a little bit. I'd rather find a guy now that tells me, hey, I've been collecting G.I. Joe for 20 years and I'm looking for somebody to buy it all. Because then I buy that collection and then it goes straight on eBay. But unfortunately, I'm so busy, I bought several of these collections that are just sitting in my own warehouse. But eventually, they'll go on eBay. We talked about it, and obviously, I was wrong. Storage Wars was like the biggest hit ever. I think the first season, they were averaging like 6 million viewers a show, which was high, especially for cable reality television. They had their thing going on. I had my thing going. By season 3, they were starting to make some changes, and they wanted to bring even more experienced buyers in and fun couples. By the end of season 3, we shot 6 test episodes, and it was love at first sight. They loved us. We loved doing it. The fans started responding pretty good to it. And so we're about to air season 15. So
wow. So it's safe to say it changed your life.
Yeah, it did change the track of my life. Sometimes I miss it because I want to be eBay to reseller Renee because I love to hunt. Where now I'm Renee, where sometimes I have to do more interviews, I have to go film, I have to go do appearances, which is still fun and it makes me really happy when I can talk to somebody.
What a hard life, Renee.
No, it's I'm a true born treasure hunter. I love it. I mean, to me, like if you tell me, hey, Renee, I know this guy in Oklahoma and he has 2 10,000 square feet barns. We're going to go there for a week during our vacation to go pick through it. That is like, oh, I don't know if I would choose that over Hawaii. I probably would, to be honest, because I just love it. But it makes me really, really happy because like wherever we go, literally every day, and it still amazes me. Like as soon as I go somewhere, somebody will come up and talk about Storage Wars or wants a picture. And it just makes him really, really happy. And I'm happy that God has given me the power because I'm just a regular person. I'm nothing special. Okay. But God has given me the power that all I have to do is say hi to somebody and it totally makes their day. So that really makes me happy. And I feel that's a blessing. And Casey feels the same way. And that's the best part about Storage Wars.
Do you have to disguise yourself some auctions now because you're like, oh, I don't want them to see me kind of thing?
At auctions, it doesn't matter. I mean, the business is up anyway. Reselling, I mean, you guys at eBay, you guys know reselling just keeps on going up and up and up. More people learn that flipping is actually a really great thing. Prices are up. People will sometimes bid against me because it is me. The units that I usually bid on these days are usually very expensive units, like the last big we deal, we bought a whole motorcycle warehouse, all the helmets for $60,000. I bought the whole auctions. People were a little bit upset, but it made a great YouTube video on our YouTube channel. And it all sold, which was great. So that's a little bit different. The thing that I saw a major difference is picking. It's hard for me to go to yard sales or swap meets. Because if I pick it up, even if the person were thinking 10 and they know who I am, it's automatically 25 or 40.
Oh, no.
Or at least they try. So when we started the show, when I still was doing a lot of picking, I would go to swap meets and I'd pick up 5 items with only really interest in one and see what they want to do, you know?
Do you want me to go to like the next auction site for you? I'll have like an earpiece and I'll just do all the bidding for you.
Ooh, I like the way you think. But the problem is, like I said, most of the units that I bid on now are pretty expensive units anyways. And I don't mean to say that sound cocky or anything like that, you know, or like full of myself. I buy the units when they open it up and it looks like it's a 10 by 30 full of Star Wars. And everybody already knows it's going to go for $10,000, $15,000 and maybe $25,000. So that's what I'm going for these days.
Okay, awesome. That's exciting.
I literally have a 4,000 square feet warehouse that's packed from top to bottom with stuff that needs to be listed on eBay. I got at least $2 or $3 million worth of stuff that needs to go on eBay.
Wow, where is this unit? I want to come visit it. Can I get a tour?
We should do a video. It would be a great unboxing. So I also have a YouTube channel. It's called Bargain Hunters Thrift. And now we document a lot of our life, our journey. We actually did a big series for eBay users because, you know, sometimes you have to part of the community that just doesn't work and they're negative about stuff. When the whole pandemic happened, I'm like, okay, guys, we'll do an eBay experiment just for fun because there's a lot of people that say it can't be done. And I'm like, and I tell you, it's just a lack of work. So what I'm going to do, our store's closed. I don't know what's going on in the world. So I'm just staying at home because I'm fat and I don't know how stuff will affect me. I'm just going to list on eBay every day. And we did that for like 60 days plus other listings we had. And I think we did like $95,000 just with average stuff in like 60 days. And I said to her, like, of course, you guys are going to say it because you're famous. I'm like, obviously, some people recognize who we are on eBay. But eBay as a platform, we're all equal on eBay pretty much. It's more about the item than the seller. Some people recognize, but it doesn't make a difference. I still have to compete. And if you say, okay, you have more merchants or whatever, but maybe you can make $95,000 because you don't have the inventory, but you can make $10,000 and $20,000. So that's why eBay is your lifesaver and you just need to work. And I told him, I was like, look, I'm pretty successful in life. This is not about the money. This is an experiment. I was working 16 hours a day, 17 hours a day just to prove you guys a point. And if you want to change your life, it's up to you guys. So that's the whole point of the channel. But Just with that being said, really quick, so I got this really cool eBay unit. It's killing me that I don't have time to go through it. We bought this hoarder house, and we got really early videos on there, too. We paid $20,000, and we probably have $500,000 worth of stuff that we need on list on eBay. I have, like, 10,000 Golden Age and Silver Age good comic books. I have, in 3 10x20s, at least 2,000 boxes of toys dating back from the 20s to probably the 1990s. That I need to go through and just list on eBay. Unfortunately, my life is so crazy right now. I just don't have time to go through. And it's killing me inside because all my friends make fun of me. How do you not go through everything? I'm like, I just can't. It's a major project. I just don't have time.
We only got one of you, okay? We only got one of Renee.
Yeah. So all my friends were like, we bought this warehouse for 4,000 square feet. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to put some eBay stuff in there. And they're like, who are you kidding? It's like, well, I want to clean out my storage units. And they're like, who are you kidding? You'll still have storage units. So now my 4,000 square foot warehouse, you can walk in and it's pallet racking 3 levels high with pallets. Like there'll be a whole pallet of Dungeons and Dragons toy, whole pallet of Hot Wheels, whole pallet of Lego. Everything is full. And I still have 10 10x20s and like a 10 by 50. We bought another video on YouTube, and this is we bought exclusively for eBay. We bought about 25,000 action figures, probably dating from the 80s to like the early 2020s. A lot of Marvel and Star Wars stuff. And that's all in a 10 by 50 unit and another 10 by 50 what we already put in the warehouse. So coming to eBay near you soon is going to be about 25,000 really cool action figures.
So you clearly have years of experience with buying and selling storage units, and you yourself have experienced great profits as well as, unfortunately, some hard losses. So what advice would you give someone who feels defeated from their losses?
I don't think it's more financial losses. I think the reselling business, sometimes you can run into regulations. I guess you can get more losses in storage units, but just manage your money. You know, it's like everything in life is about managing your money. Don't have $2,000 in your pocket and be like, oh, Renee's bidding, so I'm going to bid $2,000 on this unit. Because trust me, Renee loses sometimes. Renee, there was just a TMC article that came out, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I did see that.
Did you see that one?
I did see that one. I'm sorry.
Did you watch the video?
I didn't watch the video, but I saw the article and I was like, I'm just going to pretend I didn't see this. This is heartbreaking.
Oh, it's just like, I'm going through the video and Casey's like, okay, let's be positive. I'm like, what do you want me to be positive about? This is a total tweaker unit. It's crap. All I want to do is throw everything in the trash, take a shower, and forget that this ever happened. But we bought this unit basically, and it cost me, I think, I said $4,200 in the video, but by the time I add all costs, probably $45, $46. And I don't think I pulled $100 worth of merchandise. It was so bad. It was just so bad. It was the bass player from Wham. And then he had solo albums and stuff like this. I don't even remember the name. I don't want to remember.
Sorry, I don't know why I'm laughing. It's terrible.
It's okay. You know what? Luckily, God has blessed me. And like the worst part about a unit like this is I'm literally dealing with trash, which is what I don't want to do. But for somebody else, so if you take that big gamble and that's all your bankroll, that could have been devastating. So I think like everything, the biggest advice in life, and I think that applies just to everything in life, you know, don't be a newlywed and have $21,000 in the bank and feel that because peer pressure, you have to spend $20,000 for a wedding. You know, it's stupid. Everything is about bankroll management and risk management. And then the next thing I tell people all the time, and sometimes people get mad at me, I always have to be careful how I say that because people get just, everybody's too sensitive these days, but this is America. It doesn't matter what your background is of any sort, okay? This is, to me, still one of the greatest countries in the world. If you work hard, and I'm an immigrant, just for the record, first generation. I wasn't even born here, so my daughter's first generation. I'm from Germany. If you work hard in this country, and you're an honest person, and we know in our heart right from wrong, right? If you go by the rules, you're honest, you be respectful, respect other people, and just work your butt off and have stops, no failure. When I married Casey all the time, when we had struggles in life as we go through life, right? And I told her, I was like, failure is just not an option for us. She's like, well, but if it doesn't work, there's no but if it works. You're going to make this work one way or another. Failure is not an option. And if you have that attitude, this is the greatest country in the world. This country still, and you know, there's stuff wrong with the country, of course, like everywhere in the world, right? But there's not many countries in the world that give you the opportunities that we do get here as Americans. And because of storage wasn't even before, I've been to a lot of different countries and I met a lot of amazing people, and that's just flattened opportunity for them. Over here, through things like the internet, eBay, just even markets and commerce and capitalism, we do have the opportunity. So it's all up to you. And I think if you become self-employed, and being an eBay reseller is self-employment, even if it's just a side business or it becomes something bigger or a full-time business. My neighbor warehouse 2 doors down the street, all he does is seats. And it reminds me of one of the early eBay success story, the guy that was wholesaling seats, right? If you're a reseller, you just got to have that can-do attitude, and failure is just not an option. And every time I failed in life about stuff, I'm just like, okay, I try to learn the lesson and it sucks a little bit. And if you have to cry, some people cry for a minute, but then pick yourself up and like, okay, boss, put me back in. Let's battle.
That's awesome. I love that piece of advice. It was multiple pieces of advice, but it was also great. Thank you so much.
It's the truth.
Where can we find you or your store online?
Our biggest outlets, we have social media. So Instagram is rbargainhunters, cbargainhunters. On YouTube, we are bargainhunters thrift. We do a lot of videos about our journey. We journey storage units, collections, and just general adventures. Most of it is buying and selling related. We have Twitter accounts, same thing. Facebook is Renee and Casey Storage Wars Fan Club. We do a lot of videos and shorts over there, reels. And then we sell on eBay, our eBay store. So I always get confused because our eBay store is Bargain Hunters Thrift Store. We had at one time 1,600 items, but I think we're like at 800 or 900 items and we don't have the time to do it. If I ever get some time, that eBay store will probably have 100,000 listings on it. I just don't have the time.
That's okay. It's good. We'll look out for that.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
So Renee, thank you again for joining us. This is honestly such a pleasure. Thank you.
It was awesome to be here.
Renee Nishoda sells some of his amazing finds on eBay under the store name Bargain Hunters Thrift Store. You can also follow him and his wife, Casey, as they share their greatest finds on and off the show on their YouTube channel, Bargain Hunters Thrift. We hope you'll join us on our next episode, where we'll share the spotlight on another seller with an amazing story to share. I'm your host, Georgia Mampanis. Jim Griffith is our editor-in-chief. The eBay Seller Spotlight podcast is produced by Libsyn and Podcast 411.